part-time jobs. How do you find one? And is it the unicorn that you've been searching for? Or is it a raw deal where you work 100% of the time but only get paid for 60%? Let's find out.
My work-life balance is very good. Like, I am happy.
We also have the Mom Project here to teach you how to find that part-time job and truly keep it part-time.
You have to say, wait, there's only so much I can do.
Leave your lanyard and swipe card at the door. Welcome to Mom's Exit Interview, a podcast for moms seeking fulfillment and contentment outside the traditional 9-to-5. Whether you're considering taking the leap or you're already mid-air, this podcast is for you. You'll meet moms who are consultants, entrepreneurs, stay-at-home moms with side hustles, and part-time workers across various industries and levels. Plus, every episode will have experts with tips so you can turn your inspiration into action. I'm Kim Rittberg. I was a Netflix executive and former head of video at Us Weekly. And I'm a mom of two. I quit the corporate world and I've never looked back, but I'm still on this journey, so join me. We don't need a boss to give us permission or a promotion to lead the lives we want. Before we dive in, please follow the show and leave a 5-star rating. It really does help. Also, leave in the comments any topics you want us to cover or any guest ideas you have. And now, as I was in the early years of my marriage and loosely thinking about having kids, I would scan the room like a soldier in a dark forest with night vision goggles. Who in this office is a parent? Who in this office looks like a happy parent? Ooh, not him. Definitely not her. I spied one mom who did project work. She seemed satisfied. Another made sure to leave at 5 o'clock every day, but had a long commute. Then I started hearing about some mythical, magical part-time job. One where you can be in your same field and applying your expertise, but only working 3 or 4 days. In just a few minutes, you'll hear from Emily, a solar power executive who managed to nab a 3-day-a-week senior role in her field. And she'll tell you how she negotiated for it, what she wished she knew earlier, tips on how you can do it, plus regrets and advice. When I was still in an office, a dreary one, of course, because aren't they all? I had been working hard as a producer and writer in TV and news for about 15 years. Finally, I became a boss. I launched and led a digital unit with 18 people working under me for Us Weekly, the celebrity magazine. As baby number 2 was arriving, so was my professional epiphany. My company was bought, and amidst the chaos, I began considering paths to give myself more control over my schedule. Pre-pandemic, there were no work-from-home Fridays. Luckily, my husband has health insurance, so I started thinking about part-time jobs or flex jobs. These seemed magical. You use your skills that you've been honing over a decade, but you get to eke out a little more time for your family or for yourself even. What would 3 or 4 days a week look like? Could I apply my own skills to a different sort of role, or at least one that didn't require 5 days a week? Could I ever go to the gym again? Oh, I wouldn't count on that. I'm like many other moms. I want to spend time with my kids, but I still want to work. I want to earn my own money and feel professionally fulfilled. I'd like to note that it's definitely a privilege to even be able to consider taking 60% or 80% of your salary. I think you're trading money for a little bit of happiness, but I 100% understand that's not an option for everyone. Now that I've been outside the traditional job path and been on a path of self-employment, I've heard from more moms in part-time jobs, and this was some of their perspectives.
I was coming in from a full-time employee scaling back. I was working full-time, and I scaled that job to becoming a 4-day job and into being working 3 days. And I found that very challenging because I think people's expectations of what you can actually do in 3 days is... So I think you just make sure you set your boundaries.
I worked 4 days a week, one of which was from home, and that was an incredibly ideal setup. It was a unicorn and wish I were still doing it.
The more I thought about it, I realized, wait, I had hired someone in a job share. I had to staff up a video project really fast. It was a Facebook Live daily series, and I had to hire for it in just a few weeks, which is normally a month-long process. It was kind of crazy. A woman I knew from the industry said she could step in. She was skilled and she had a great resume and reputation. She was firm that she could only work 3 days a week, but she said she could fill in the other 2 days with another experienced staffer. This conversation happened in 30 minutes. The job worked out, and I realized she was onto something. Not only do these flex jobs exist, they are under the radar, and they're just not talked about so much. I hired a flex job without even realizing. Lastly, in the conversation about part-time work, I found my very own three-day-a-week situation. When I started consulting, I had a three-day-a-week client, and overall, it worked out really well for about a year and a half. It was a great relationship. Now you're going to hear from Emily Steinberg. She has an MBA and over a decade of experience. She landed a great executive role 3 days a week. And then we'll talk to Pam Cohen at The Mom Project, who will guide you to find your own flexible work situation.
I came back from my second maternity leave, and I just immediately knew that this constant running at work and then coming home and running at home and feeling like I was spending no time with my infant at the time. You know, I'd get home from work at 6 and he was 4 months old and I was putting him to bed at 6:30 or 7. And I just wasn't seeing him. And so I knew that I needed to make a change at this point in my life. And, you know, didn't know how long that would be, but felt like, what was the point of having these kids if I just never saw them? And so I spoke to my boss about wanting to transition to 3 days a week. And they, you know, were very nice and said, well, like, if that's your choice and that's what you need for your family to be successful, you should do that. This job cannot be that for you. I had met the person who's now my boss just through industry connections, and we had an existing relationship. And so when I was leaving my last job, I thought, okay, consulting work seems like the right path for me right now. So I had asked him about potential clients because he's very well connected in our industry. And he said, well, yeah, I can rattle off 20 names that I could refer you to, or you could just come work for us. And I told him very directly from the beginning that I needed the 3-day-a-week schedule. And that, like, that was my requirement. And he pushed on it a little bit and like tried to see if that was flexible. But I think what made me really successful with it was, like, first of all, I knew that he was motivated to bring me on board. It was a little bit of a unique situation in that there was not a very specific job description that was being filled. He just was motivated to bring someone on board who had good expertise in the areas that he knew his team needed, and was willing to take a risk on trying out the part-time arrangement. And, you know, I came in and was really focused at the beginning of having a couple of quick wins to demonstrate that it was working.
Right, because especially I think that the buy-in on part-time is not always there. So you have to prove you are as effective, if not more, as effective as a full-time person in your role.
Yeah, exactly.
Emily told me what she thinks has been key to making her part-time role work.
Well, I am not in a client-facing role. So that is number one. I think this would be much harder.
Oh, because you're not getting calls or emails at all weird times.
Right. And I don't need to be responsive to the degree that someone who is in a client-facing capacity does. So it allows me to create more boundaries, which I do. So I don't have my work email on my phone. I don't have my work calendar on my phone. I block the days that I'm off. I work Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I actually have my schedule and my email signature so that, because it's not fair for me to expect other people to remember my schedule. And all of those things help me really protect those 2 days off. If I'm knocking off things on my personal and family to-do list on my days off, I can be so effective in those 3 days that I'm working because I'm not getting distracted by the stuff that other working parents are often fitting in between conference calls, on their lunch break, you know, throughout the day. Like, I'm doing that in a very specific amount of time.
I have done 3 days a week for a set amount of time with a client, and I wanted to get nitty gritty with Emily. Just because you are pressing pause on those days that you're not working, the rest of the company is still chugging along.
I love your idea about putting your schedule in your email. That's genius. What about meetings when you're not the primary stakeholder? Do you get invited to meetings on your days off because it's people in other departments?
I would say probably once a week, I have a half an hour of meetings or phone calls that I end up taking.
I do the same too. I will prioritize an important meeting that's on one of my days off, but there are times that I can't make it. So in my experience, I'm sometimes having client work on those other times. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I just can't. And other times, like, I'll actually, you know, not available. You had your second kid then, mm-hmm. when you had this job transition.
Yes.
So when you had your first son, Max, was it not as tricky? The hours weren't as long, or you didn't struggle? Because when you have one, it's different than having two.
It's just different when you have one versus two. I would come home from work when I was working full time, and I could devote 100% of my attention to that one child. And when you have a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old, the 2.5-year-old is going to just grab all of your attention because that is what they do best.
Emily knows I'm laughing with agreement. I'm like, yes, the older child knows how to own the room. And the younger child is like, fit in, gotta just fit in.
Right, exactly.
Pretty much when I hear part-time work in a corporate world is like the unicorn job. What are some of the challenges that come along with that?
Advancement. You are taking on a little bit less than you would be able to if you were full-time. And so the number of wins and the velocity of wins that you have is just a little bit different. Life still happens and work still happens on those 2 days off. And so you can miss important conversations. 5 days worth of meetings get compressed into 3. And so if you look at my calendar, starting at 9:30 in the morning to 5:00 at night, it is often solid booked.
Emily mentioned meeting culture. I've been at several companies with what is called meeting glut. Back-to-back meetings all day long with no actual time to do real work.
So when do you do the work?
Well, I'll do it at the end of the day. I'll do it, you know, sometimes from that hour between 5 and 6. We have dinner at 6 every night. You hear a lot about parents logging in after bedtime and going back and doing the work, and that definitely happens. Maybe this is good. I probably just like don't do the things that aren't as important, and maybe those never get done. You know, it's also saying no. I also block my calendar so that people can't fill up my calendar. I actually implemented for our entire 40-person sales team no meeting hour, which is 3:00 Eastern time every day. If I need to work on a specific project, instead of allowing other people to take up that time, probably for valid reasons, but if I know I need to get something done, then I'll just block the hour.
I find the time management piece to be so interesting, challenging, but when you do it right, you feel it's very effective. Like when I was at Netflix, there were meetings from the second you walked in till the second you left, and sometimes on your rides home, and sometimes at night after bedtime because it's an international company. Mm-hmm. So you're really adjusting for all the different time zones. Because we were in New York and a lot of our colleagues were California, I would make sure between 10 and 11:30, it would always be a block. I would never schedule calls, not with England, not with whoever, and that would be my work time. Mm-hmm. And it was so important. And honestly, I feel like over the past 15 years, I've seen the meeting culture get totally out of hand. And it's to your point, you have to protect that. I sometimes try to share a Google Doc and just ask people to comment in the shared doc, in the shared presentation, because sometimes you don't need a half an hour meeting to review things and people can just drop their notes in, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen 8 people in a meeting looking at a deck making notes. I'm like, what a terrible waste of time this is.
Emily has been giving us her time management tricks, blocking your calendar to protect some quiet work time, and clearly communicating your hours, even in your email signature. She says while part-time has been generally positive, she pointed out getting promoted has been more challenging.
Advancement has been one of the major limiting factors. There is just a norm in corporate America that you cannot work part-time and be a senior leader at a company. What I'm hoping to achieve is demonstrating that it's the quality of the work, right? And the quality of the thought leadership that earns you that advancement, not the number of hours that you put in. And so I'm building a presentation to advocate for why I've earned that advancement, and trying to demonstrate some examples in other companies or organizations that would show that my company wouldn't be the first to make this kind of move.
I love the idea of using data and finding other data points to sort of push through your argument, because, you know, the conversation is changing around working moms and the workplace is having different conversations about how do we accommodate, how do we keep people who are educated and knowledgeable, like replacing someone who has a ton of experience and knowledge because if there aren't accommodations being made is expensive for the company. It's expensive to replace people. That's really smart.
My executive team has been extremely supportive overall. They have demonstrated some leadership in the sense that they were willing to hire me in a director position at part-time without really like having worked with me before, and that they continue to respect those boundaries. That has endeared me to them and made me much more loyal and motivated.
Emily and I also talked about how, for her, leading a team is important, and she finds satisfaction in that.
You know, my self-doubt and imposter syndrome that impacts many other parts of my life doesn't exist in that specific part of my life. And so for that reason, it's important to keep it around.
I used to get so much pride out of being an executive, being a team leader, getting accolades. And now I'm working on really satisfying things, but the accolades are fewer because I'm like a hired gun in a way, mm-hmm. and I'm not leading people. So I've had to rejigger my own mind to say that part of my professional experience is not as important right now. And I am not going to get and don't need the accolades that I used to get or expect because I'm not the senior staffer of this team leading this project.
Has that rejiggering of your mind been successful?
When I meet with my therapist, it's been very successful. It takes work to undo a full lifetime of like professional expectations set by you, peers, your parents, mm-hmm. colleagues. But I think that every time I say to myself, I'm doing this because I want to, it actually does help. For the most part, yes, because I think I'm like really trying to sort of do my own version of mind control and really say to myself, like, whatever this is right now, I'm enjoying it. Where I'll be in 5 years or 10 years, I don't know. And that's okay. I never was like, I want to be three rungs up in this organization in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I never had such a linear goal anyway. To me, it's always been like, how do I have a fulfilling career that leaves me with the brain and heart capability for others?
Okay, it's time for the larger questions about work-life balance and happiness.
How happy are you?
I'm trying not to let the small things pull me down and take over everything that is bringing me joy in my life. But when I actually do take those moments to reflect, where I'm just in the present, appreciating, you know, either a business challenge that I'm working on or snuggling in bed with the kids, like I am happy. But I think that's something that I am working on.
How would you say your work-life balance is?
My work-life balance is very good. And I can, you know, setting aside the fact that I do need to fit in the real work often in off hours, you know, I think for the most part, I can really choose to take on more and throw myself into it and invest the extra hours during my off days sometimes. Or I can choose to really respect those boundaries and work my part-time schedule as defined.
Emily's takeaways are, if you know you want to be part-time, stick to that. Try to network to get that. If you are already part-time, keep your calendar schedule listed in your email. 3 days is easier than saying, I work 5 days a week and end at 2, because she says there's the creep of meetings. In just a minute, you'll hear from the Mom Project on how to land your own flexible work role. Now that you've heard firsthand about part-time jobs, we have Pam Cohen, Chief Research and Analytics Officer for the Mom Project, which is a platform designed to help women find flexible positions to support their lifestyle. Pam will give us an overview of part-time jobs and has tips on how to land a part-time job and how to ensure your part-time job doesn't creep into being full-time. We started by talking about how common part-time jobs are.
Part-time jobs are really quite prevalent now. Certainly on the Mom Project platform, we have our fair share of offerings of part-time jobs, which can go anywhere from usually 10 hours a week up to 30 hours a week. I think that what we found for most moms who want part-time, they're usually looking for about 20, which tends to be the sweet spot for companies as well. There's a few things about part-time jobs. One is, finding them and giving clarity around the fact that they're available for a certain number of hours a week. But also, I think the biggest thing for moms in part-time roles is making sure that there isn't scope creep, keeping to that part-time job. You want to make sure that you haven't just accepted a part-time job that's really full-time. Part-time is a growing trend. I think that, the gig economy is certainly real. More people who want to stay contract because they get more freedom, they get more flexibility, they feel more like their own boss. In part-time work, I find that a lot of times it's people who are looking to stay in part-time for a few years, maybe till kids are older, or maybe they're taking care of older parents, or, maybe their situation is such that they need part-time for a while.
Pam says there is a range of part-time jobs available.
They really run the gamut. I mean, it can be anything from, marketing work, where you're, designing things for a company, branding, communications, certainly research, any kind of work that you're working in an office environment where there's some collaboration, but some heads down work, but even more traditional, roles have become a lot more flexible, where we often heard that, like, for example, fintech jobs were always in the office, always, very buttoned down 9-to-5 kind of jobs. Even those have become more flexible since the pandemic, where corporations realize, hey, people really can get their work done from home.
Once a mom has a flex job, how can she best set herself up for success?
So communicating clearly about hours, but also expectations of what can be done in a certain amount of time. I think that's really good to go into during a job interview. For example, I think I can get X amount done in, this amount of time per week. Does that seem reasonable? Is that what you're looking for? And talking about quality over quantity, depending on the role. Those things are really important. I mean, I think for everybody who goes into part-time positions, it's just really important. It's not that employers are deliberately trying to take advantage of somebody. It's just that a lot of times when somebody does good work, you keep giving them more work. And the idea is that you have to say, wait, there's only so much I can do, and then going back to a manager to say, I can do this in, 15 hours. What would you like me to hold off on? What would you rather that I get done next week? So that there is clear communications around, hey, we're coming up on 20 hours this week. I can continue this next week. And when that happens, then managers get the idea of helping that employee to find balance as well.
And how can you find a part-time job for yourself?
Well, there's quite a few you know, certainly the Mom Project platform lists a lot of part-time jobs. You know, it's good to sign up with a platform like ours, get your skills out there. You can say how many hours a week you're looking for work. You can say what kind of work you're looking for. You know, and then there's many traditional channels that people go to look at for work, other platforms as well. I think the Mom Project is particularly well suited because we're really look for those kind of positions for moms and what will suit them best. Once they're identified, I think it's, and you've gotten the interview, it's a matter of asking the right questions to make sure, is this really a part-time job? Is this, you know, really something that's reasonably part-time? And, you know, how long will this job be part-time for? Is it permanent part-time, if that's what they're looking for?
I like to end the show on a fun note, so I'm going to leave you with a great story from Bethany Braun Silva. She is an on-air parenting, entertainment, and lifestyle expert, and she's the former editor of Parenting.com.
Hey, it's Bethany Braun Silva. I'm a parenting editor and writer, and over the last 10 years of being a mom and in this digital media world, I've gotten to interview my fair share of celebrities. There was one interview in particular with Ali Landry where I was interviewing her from my home, and my then 2-year-old was also home with me. He was down for a nap. Everything was perfect. The timing was just working out exactly as it should be, of course, until it wasn't. So then he woke up screaming, crying at the same time Ali's publicist was calling me. I ended up taking him out of the crib thinking that would calm him down, and then went into the bathroom to interview her. He didn't calm down. In fact, he did the exact opposite. I locked myself in the bathroom and he's screaming bloody murder from the outside of the bathroom door. While I'm sitting in my bathtub trying to strategically mute and unmute while asking Ali Landry questions. It goes without saying, this interview never got published. It was kind of a disaster. I was sweating, you know, almost on the verge of tears myself. So I don't know if this is even funny, but it's definitely relatable. My kid, it was, of course, fine. But this is something that I still think of when I think back on probably what was the most, you know, challenging work from home moment that I ever faced. And it was definitely interviewing a celeb while my screaming toddler was trying to bang down the door.
Thank you so much for being here. Please follow the show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And share it with any other parents who will find it valuable, because it's truly meant to be a resource. I also love getting feedback on what resonated with you, so you can find us everywhere. Email me through momsexitinterview.com. You could drop me a DM on Instagram at Kim Ritberg. I am really friendly. Or you can leave a comment in the podcast app. We love to hear from you. Give us guest ideas, topics you want us to cover, your favorite tip that you heard, anything. Mom's Exit Interview is produced by Henry Street Media. I'm Kim Ritberg, the host and executive producer. John Hollowitz is our editor, and Aliza Friedlander is our producer and publicist.